Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Everyone loves a good story, whether told by word of mouth, conveyed through the pages of a book, or acted out on the movie or TV screen. Writers come from all different backgrounds and experiences. Some seem to be born with a love of crafting words on paper from the time they're young, while others develop a desire to share a message later on in life. My guest today, Glynis Becker, shares her thoughts and ideas and inspires others through both devotional writing, novel writing, and script writing. Glynis holds a college degree in mechanical engineering, but her head and heart have forever been filled with stories and dreams of sharing those stories with others. She is convinced the best stories are filled with adventure, humor, romance, second chances, and the unmistakable glimmer of God's grace. Her short fiction is included in a faith writer's collection called Mixed Blessings, classically inspired. She has been a monthly contributor to the devotional website With God Daily. Currently, she has several novel-length manuscripts in progress and is a member of American Christian Fiction Writers. Along with Brian Yarborough, Glynis has co-written several screenplays for True Exposure Productions. Their first film, Sinking Sand, stars Kevin Sizemore, Jen Gotson Chandler, and released in September of 2018. Glynis lives in the beautiful Black Hills of South Dakota. Good morning and welcome to the show, Glynis.
Hi, Patty. It's so good to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you too, Glynis. Well, to meet you, not in person, but it's a pleasure to finally connect with you. We've talked quite a bit ever since you first advertised the Sinking Sand movie, and that's been a while now. So I'm glad we were finally able to connect.
Yes, me too.
Well, Glynis, if you would, tell us what kind of childhood experiences do you feel contributed to your life today as a Christian and also as a writer?
You know, I grew up in a very Christian home, and so we were introduced to Jesus about right away. I said I was born on a Sunday, and I think by the next Sunday I was in church. So one of those kind of families. And my parents are still very involved in their church. And as a military brat, so that's the other aspect of my life, I suppose, that, you know, those childhood things that
sure.
create who you are, right? I think having those experiences as seeing people in your family who follow Jesus and love Jesus and try really hard to not just walk it, you know, to tell about it and to walk the walk really inspired me to learn my own faith as a, you know, college student or whatever, later on. And so we're trying to teach that now to our children.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful, Glynis. It's
yeah.
always nice to hear of a family that is has a solid Christian base to it, you know, and that they carry that on, because it seems like today we've discussed this backwards and forwards in our church. It just doesn't seem like there's a lot of the younger people that are that interested in actually going to worship services anymore and being involved in the traditional things that we grew up with.
Right, right. And it's just a matter of, you don't change the gospel to fit them, but you change maybe the way that we have to embrace it. And, you know,
exactly.
maybe church isn't the way that the next generation's going to go. And then we'll just have to see what happens. God's in control.
God's in control. That's exactly right, Glynis. Well, I know.
Absolutely.
I thought it was interesting that you said you obtained on your website, you talk about how you obtained a college degree in a field far removed from writing. What prompted you to make that choice? What was the choice, and what led you into that career field?
Well, okay. So, again, going back to being an Air Force brat, we moved around a lot. And when I think I was 12, we moved here to South Dakota. Dad got stationed at the Air Force Base here. And for the first time in my life, I felt like this was home. It just felt, I guess I'm a Midwestern girl at heart. And I just knew, we ended up moving away when I was in high school to the East Coast. And that's, you know, about the time you start making those decisions. What am I going to do about college? Well, there's an engineering school here in Rapid City, School of Mines, South Dakota School of Mines. And I just decided I wanted to go back. And so, you know, my math and science scores were high enough. I thought I can get into school there. I'll move back to South Dakota where I loved. And engineering is a pretty good paying kind of a field. It was more of a practical decision than anything. So I took AP English, but I also took AP calculus. So, you know, I loved them both, but for me, I guess practically I wanted to do engineering just because I could come back home.
Wow. And I believe it was mechanical engineering you pursued, right?
It is. It is. I had these great dreams of maybe, I don't know, designing airplanes or something like that. And I mean, the truth is that by the time I got a little ways into it, I was about a junior in college, and I'm like, I just don't know if this is really for me. But by that time I felt like, you know, I got to finish this degree, and I'm so glad that I did. I ended up spending 10 years doing software out at our Ellsworth Air Force Base for the B-1 bombers. And
oh, wow.
So, and it was a great experience. It was for the maintenance trainers that train the people to maintain the B-1 bombers. So it was very cool. It was a great experience. I worked with some great people, and it was good. It was good.
Well, good for you, because that doesn't sound like a profession that many women lean toward, you know? So it's kind of cool to hear about somebody that made a choice that was a little bit out of the box.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. You and I have a little bit of a connection as far as the Air Force, Glynis, because my sister and brother-in-law were in the Air Force for 20 years.
Fantastic.
Joined back in 73, and they made a career road. They were in there for 20, you know, until 93. So I kind of like to ask you, just as an aside, what was your favorite? Well, you said your favorite place was kind of where you are now, but what did you like the most about that life? Was there things you liked and things you really disliked about it?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially things like that. Everybody's childhood, pros and cons of however it is that you grew up. One of the pros of being in the Air Force is we did live in a lot of different places, but that's also one of the cons, is that you're moving around a lot. It's hard to make friends. My personality doesn't lend itself to making quick friendships. I'm kind of in it for the long haul. And so when you're only at a base for 2 or 3 years, it's hard to do that. But I loved being able to say, well, you know what? I know how to eat gumbo. And I know how to say reckon, you know, but we also lived, we lived in Upper Michigan. So I've been able to say I've seen the Northern Lights. My family's all from Oregon. So I love the Pacific Northwest. Beautiful. I have a real connection to that because that was kind of where we sort of vacationed. We would always go back to see family. So I don't know. Yeah.
Did you do any international tours? Did your family do any international tours?
You know, we had orders to England that got canceled. So when I was a kid, we were going to go to England, and then that got canceled. My dad ended up in Thule, Greenland for a year by himself and a year in Korea. So those were kind of his international things. I've never actually even been to Canada.
Oh, how
I mean, that's
funny.
Really sad. I'm an Air Force brat that's never been out of the country. So,
that is kind of unusual, huh?
Yeah.
Well, my sister and brother-in-law had one tour out of the country, and that was in Korea for a year. And of course,
that's a beautiful country, I think.
Yeah. They really enjoyed their time over there, and they sent me some cool stuff while they were over there. That I still have some of it, but. But as far as Canada, yes, I can say I've been there, and that's only because I grew up in New York, and we used to spend a lot of time in the Adirondack country, and we went to see Niagara Falls one time, and we went over to the Canadian side of the falls. I remember that, and I got to go to Mexico once because I went to visit relatives in California, and we went to Tijuana for the day. So I can say I'm an international traveler.
But I guess so. I said both of my kids have had passports. I don't even have a passport yet. So I think I need a passport.
There you go. Well, the sad thing for me is my son has lived in the UK since 2010, and I still haven't got over there to see him.
Oh, that would be very, very cool.
I know. It's just been a series of different events, health issues, and this and that and the other thing, but they have really enjoyed it over there.
Yeah, international travel has it's hard. I think it's just hard. So.
Well, we friend and I had lunch with a lady yesterday who has Far Eastern background, and she went back to Singapore to visit her family there. I think it was Singapore. She said from San Francisco to Singapore, that flight was 17 hours.
I know.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
That's a long time.
I know.
That's outrageous. Anyway, we're getting off track here. We're supposed to be talking about your writing.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. No, that's okay. Great conversation.
I kept visiting with them, and pretty soon I'm like, wait a minute. But you,
well, you said this was supposed to be like sitting over having a chat over a cup of tea.
Right,
so
we're drinking our tea and sitting across from each other on the sofa and in the recliner here, right?
That's right.
Well, Glynis, when did you start writing? You write devotionals. You have several published. You have several of them published on your website. When did you start writing devotionals, and what is the message you most want to share?
Well, okay, so when I said I spent 10 years writing software code and things like that for a defense contractor, and when that our contract came up, they moved it to Texas. I was not going to move to Texas. So I decided at that point, you know, what was a dream that I used to have that I may want to revisit? You know, what do I really want to continue in the engineering? Do I want to do something else? Which I still don't write for a living, so that didn't really change anything there. But it made me start thinking, you know, do I have something to say, and how can I share it? I found a website called Faith Writers, which was a huge encouragement for beginner writers to share their message, just how to share the love of Jesus in a way that is creative and inspiring. And so I met some people through there, and that's how I thought, I can write a devotional. I can do that kind of thing. And generally when I write one, I think to myself, what is it that I need God to hear? What do I need to hear from God today for me? So most of the time I write them more for myself than I do anybody else, but they seem to resonate most of the time. So I think my big takeaway is hope, because it is so easy. The world needs so much hope. It
Absolutely.
Is dark, and we just need a little hope just to remember that again, God is in control. Things are going to get better. That's just what I want to tell people.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I'll sit down and watch the news and I think, why am I even doing this? You
know, I know.
It's just so frustrating. But I think we are so fortunate to be brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that hope is always there. And
because we know the ending.
We know the ending, yes.
We know
and
the
like
ending.
They say, in the end, we win.
That's right. It may be long to get there, but we know in the end we win.
But I think
that's a
so
beautiful
wonderful.
Message.
Most definitely. I think it's so wonderful to have people out there like you who can take that hope and put it into words and make it make sense for folks. I know I've tried some devotional writing, and to me it just falls kind of flat. It doesn't seem to get much of anywhere. And I read other people's devotions, and I think, wow, you know. That says exactly what I wanted to hear today. And that's what else I was going to bring up when you said that that sometimes you're writing for yourself. I think that you may be writing for yourself, but there are so many people feeling exactly the way you are. And I think that's what helps bring us to is realizing that there's just so many others out there that may not express it, but they feel exactly the same way.
Yep. I think that's one thing about, you know, sometimes Christians can paint this rosy picture that it's all good. Everything's good. I'm good. You're good. And we have to be so authentic with our struggles because other people need to hear the story.
Exactly. You know, you can sign up for people's blogs. And I received one from a lady who is a counselor, and she writes a lot on grief and healing from grief. And I lost my train of thought of what I was going to say. Oh, I know. What she says in her last post, one of her last posts is it okay for Christians to feel depressed? And that's a good question because people often think that, oh, you know, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be happy all the time. You're supposed to have this wonderful outlook on life and you never get down about anything. Well, that's not true. Christians experience the same emotions as everyone else.
Absolutely. And I, you know, if you think about now I'm going to get the name wrong. Was it Elijah? In he'd just seen God do all these wonderful things, and he spiraled into depression. You know, in the Bible, it just tells that. So if he can, why can't anybody else?
We just, funny you should mention Elijah, because here last quarter, around Christmas time, before Christmas, we, in our Sunday school class, finished up a book about a study on Elijah. It was an older book that I had received. I probably ordered it, heaven knows how many years ago. And I'm trying to go through books and get them written. This was called, I Didn't Sign Up for This. And it's,
oh, yeah.
Right now we're without a pastor, so we don't have a pastor to lead our Sunday school. So we've been kind of on our own, and we're always looking for different things to study. And what we did, we decided that we would each take a different Bible character and present that Bible character throughout the weeks. We did that for 12 weeks. And when I did Elijah, I said, hey, you know, this book is really cool. It has some study questions afterwards. How about we do this for our next study? So we did. And it was a very good book. And yeah, it brought up all those, how, you know, Elijah had experienced this wonderful, wonderful, the way that God just showed himself with so much power. And then all of a sudden things just fell apart for him. And it was like, whoa, what happened? You know? Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm so glad those stories are written in the Bible, just to show us that it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and then look at the people that doubted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and oh goodness, I'm forgetting my name today. Isn't that awful? when John the Baptist's mother, isn't that terrible? I can't. Elizabeth was told that she was going to have a child, and the dad was like, wait a minute, you know, okay, you don't believe me, you're not going to talk until this kid is born, you know.
I'll show you. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah, I'll show you.
I love those stories. Exactly.
Well, Glynis, as you know, the premise of this show is for people to share with our listeners a dark time in their life and how they came back to light, or a way in which they help others from darkness to light. Do you have a particular time in your life, and it doesn't have to be super personal, it can even relate to your writing, when you were just really bummed out and you had to strive to find your way back to light, and how did you do that?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, as I was thinking about this, I would say that right now I'm just coming out of a period of that. And so last summer, a lot of things kind of coalesced at the same time for us. I left a job that I'd been at for 10 years. We left our church at the same time. My job was with the church. And just for lots of reasons, we just decided it was time to move somewhere else. And then my daughter turned 18, and she went off to college in the fall. And it was like, oh, my whole life. This is, everything was just on its axis. I'm sure people have felt like that. And so I think there is such a growth time during the darkness. I don't know why that is, but I just think you grow. God grows things under the ground, I suppose. Like seeds and things always grow better in the dark dirt. So I guess I'm not entirely sure that I'm out, but there is so much hope and light just by focusing on what's really important, which is following the footsteps of Jesus. So it's time in the Bible, time in prayer, time with others who are walking that same walk. My family and my friends has really just been an encouragement that I'm not entirely sure what the next step in my world looks like, but I'm ready to go. I don't know if that answers your question or.
Yeah, I think it does, Glynis. And we all have those dark experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems at the time you're wondering why you're going through it. We just watched a movie at church. Once again, like I said, we don't have a pastor, and we had four pastors that were covering the four Sundays. Well, one of our pastors had a medical issue and has been out for a while, and so we're kind of trying to find a replacement for this person every we can. Well, this past Sunday, we tried and tried, and we could not find a single person. So for our sermon portion of our service, we ended up watching a movie called The Potter. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but this man likens the art of creating pottery to the way God shapes us and refines us in the fire and all this. And it was it's quite an amazing analogy. But it's true. Just when he talks about how he has this pottery in the kiln, and that kiln gets heated to 2,000 degrees, and he talks about how the pots, you know, are probably thinking to themselves, "What's happening to us? We're changing, and where's our pottery? It's not there, and it's getting hotter and hotter. And what if it gets so hot that we just disintegrate?" And they're thinking all these things, and they can't see him, but he's right outside regulating that kiln
right.
all the time. And it's the way we sometimes feel toward God when we're having a terrible time, and it seems at times like he is so distant, but he's right there
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
whole time. So, yeah, it's we've all been through that's for sure.
Right, and the pots wouldn't be any good if they weren't heated, if they hadn't been heated and changed shape and changed consistency. You know, a pot that isn't done isn't done. It doesn't do
exactly.
its thing. It doesn't work. So.
Well, he talks about how it would be too porous to pour
mm-hmm.
a liquid or anything into before it goes through that firing. But afterwards, you know, it becomes durable, and the colors that he's painted on it become so much more rich. And it's really a very good movie. Yeah, here I am pitching that movie.
That's a perfect analogy. No, that's great.
Well, we're going to do a little break here, Glynis, and then we're going to talk about
okay.
your movie and a couple of other things.
Okay.
But I just want listeners to be aware. We have listeners that come into the show in the middle of the show and don't know what they're listening to. Today,
sure.
you are listening to Step Into the Light, and I am your host, Patty Sheen. I am honored to have writer and screenwriter Glynis Becker here with me today. Glynis and I have been kind of just batting back and forth some fun conversation at first, and we talked about her background a little bit, and Glynis has a movie that was released here not too long ago, and we're going to get into that into the second half of our show. But first, I want to make listeners aware that, first of all, this show is archived and therefore can be listened to at any time. If you missed a part of it or you'd like to listen to it again or refer it to your friends, we'd love to have you do that. And also, if you want to learn more about Glynis, she has a website, and I have a website, and I will put Glynis's information there. The website to go to is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com, and there you will be able to find a direct link to this show and all the other shows that we have recorded to date. Under more information, you will also find the information about Glynis and how to learn more about her. Getting back to what Glynis has to say here, tell us a little bit, Glynis, about how you got into screenwriting. First of all, you've written devotionals, and we've talked about that, and you have some
mm-hmm.
novels in progress on your computer, just as I do.
Yes, that may never see
but
the light of day. We never know.
Just never know. So what led you into the screenwriting aspect of creating stories?
Sure. So I said I had been part of a group called Faith Writers, and
yes.
they had every week they have or I think four times a year, whatever it is, they have a prompt that you can write to and then submit. It's really great encouragement, especially for new writers, to get some critiques. You can win, you know, and that's actually how one of my stories got. They publish the winners after
Neat.
A certain amount of time in those books. Yeah. So, and that's just short fiction. It's like 750 words
okay.
Or less. And so I had written some pieces, you know, they're just all up there to read. And a friend of mine, who we've been friends for years. I met him when he was in the Air Force here at in the 90s in Ellsworth. And we'd just become friends, had stayed kind of Christmas card friends for years. And he had read one of my pieces and said, you know, I'd like to make that into a little short film. Would you be okay with that? Well, I mean, I'm not going to say no. That sounds like fun. So So they wrote it, you know, not wrote it. I wrote it, but they acted it out and produced it as just a 4 or 5 minute little piece that's on YouTube. It's called Principles of Geometry. I don't know if I've ever even posted that anywhere. It's kind of fun. Yeah.
Well,
so,
send me the URL and I'll print it and I'll post
yeah,
it.
Yeah, if it's still... Yeah, if it's still out there, I'll do that. I haven't looked at that for a while. Anyway, after that, we just kind of got to talking, and he said, you know, I have this, he had been working as a screenwriter. He'd written some short films and things like that, like I said, and he had this piece that he said, you know, it's got a female protagonist. I would love to have a woman's perspective on it. So that was in 2012. He sent me the screenplay. We kind of, you know, made some changes, fixed some dialogue, that kind of thing. And I just had kind of offhand said, well, if you ever, you know, film it, let me know and I'll come down and watch, you know, I'll come and see you film it. So in 2015, man, I'm getting my dates mixed up. He filmed it starring Jen Gotson and Kevin Sizemore and Jim Chandler and Tom Clark, a whole bunch of great actors, and in Savannah. And so I went down there and kind of just watched. I wasn't really doing anything. I just kind of filled in wherever they needed me to, but it was really fun to be on a movie set. Never done that before. And he gave me, co-creator credit for it. And so we started now since then. Yeah. So co-writing credit, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we decided we were kind of a good team together. So we've actually written written at least one other screenplay that's finished. And we're working on an episodic, like a TV series to pitch. So
nice.
It's just fun. So I sort of fell into it because he was a friend of mine and he invited me to collaborate with him. So, which I will be eternally grateful for because it's been a lot of fun. Something I probably would never have done on my own.
And you know, a lot of times that's the way it works, Gwyneth, and mm-hmm. I think that's kind of a God thing that people just sort of start talking about something and have a common interest, and it's like, wow, you know, why don't we try this together? Hey!
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's fun.
Well, it sounds like it would be. When I was in college, I took a creative writing course to fulfill the elective requirements that I had mm-hmm. to meet for the degree I was pursuing. And we had done a bunch of plays. And he wanted us to take, like, a scene and analyze it, or, you know, he had, like, five or six different choices.
Right.
I went up to him and I said, would you let me write my own play for this assignment? And he said, sure. So I did. I wrote one and it was really fun. And after we turned him in, you know, he says, I want to see you after class. And I thought, uh-oh. And he said, how did you know to write all this stage direction and everything? I said, because I read the plays that we read and I looked at how they do it. He says, this is really cool. I'd never pursued it, but it was fun.
It is fun. It's a totally different kind of collaboration than other things. You know, I think a play, because you know you have to have lots of people to be part of this and that you have to sort of give up all of your control of it,
right.
You know, because other people are going to be interpreting your creation in a different way than you will. And sometimes that's good and sometimes it's hard. And so it's different. Yeah.
Sure. And that's a question I was going to ask you. How does... For our audience, for our listeners,
sure.
How does novel writing differ from screenwriting, in your opinion?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you approach the story in the same way. I have a character, I have a plot, I need to get them from point A to point B. There has to be some emotion, there has to be some conflict. It has to resonate with the, you know, you have to buy in the reader or the person that's watching, the audience, they have to buy into the story. So there's lots of things that are similar, but novel writing seems so, it's more of a one-on-one thing. It's you and your typewriter, although there is a lot of collaboration afterwards, but getting out that first draft for sure is you and your ideas in your head. And screenwriting, well, for one, I mean, we co-write, so there's that that's kind of different. But I think that once that first draft is done, then that's when you bring in other people. Whereas screenwriting, in my head, I think we always have somebody is going to be speaking these words, or somebody, you have to have that visual. I guess it's more visual, maybe. I don't know.
And not only that, but I think because somebody is going to be interpreting what's on the page, how can I say it? I mean, you have to have these people know what they're supposed to be doing and what kind
right.
of prompts are going to be around, props
right.
are going to be around them and this kind of thing also, which is something that you can't just say, oh, well, do what you want, you know?
Right. Right. When you're writing a novel, you can just bring in whatever it is that you want. Well, when you're writing for screenplay, and for us, you know, these are, we don't have millions and millions of dollars to work with. So we're not, you have to be careful of, well, is this going to be something that practically we can work out in production, you know?
Right.
Is this something that we don't need computer graphics for? Is this something, you know, so sometimes you have to scale back the, but what happens there is that the story and the characters become even more important.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they aren't important at all in a novel, which they are, but you can let your imagination go a little bit farther. But when you're doing independent films with a smaller budget, you have to be really clever and about what you can do and what you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good challenge. It's a good challenge. It's good for your creativity for sure.
Now I'm curious to know, Glynis, once you have written this screenplay, you and your co-writer or whoever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question is, how do you go about finding somebody to act in it and saying, hey, you know, whose responsibility is that to find actors?
Well,
and-
well, in our collaboration, then that's kind of my partner's feel. He knows people and he's more networked than I am. And he lives in Georgia, which is a much, there's a lot of filmmaking there in Atlanta. So he has a better network of people to find those things. But he's also the director, and then we're the producers along with other people produce it. So we're not trying to sell it to other places. We make these movies ourselves. So that's a little different, I think, than some other places. So, but I think Brian just reaches out to people, and we've just it's knowing people and knowing them, knowing people. And I don't know, it's a lot of word of mouth. I think it's really just, getting in touch with agents and just, it's who, you know, so even
Isn't
outside of Hollywood, I think it's who, you know.
Isn't it funny that you mentioned Atlanta? Never occurred to me that Atlanta was a filmmaking city at all.
It is. There's tons of movies, especially a lot of Christian movies are made in near Atlanta. There's just a big, I didn't know that either.
That's pretty cool. Well, tell us about Sinking Sand. I saw the trailer on this movie, and oh man, I've got to order this movie.
Well, thank you. We would love it if you watched it. So we both enjoy old movies, the golden age kind of Hitchcock thrillers. There's just something about the storytelling in those old black and white films, and I think that's because the story has to be so good, because they didn't have all the, like I was saying before, the production values weren't that. They didn't have all the things that we have now for technology, and they did. There's some just fantastic movies that don't look as old as they are because they were so well done in their day.
Well done.
So, and another thing, you know, with the way that there's so much more graphic content today that you couldn't do back then that you certainly can now, but that we choose not to do. So that even if the story is about adult themes, that you wouldn't be embarrassed to have your kids walk in while you're watching this film.
Right.
So this film is kind of, I like to say, if you like Perry Mason, the old Perry Mason shows, you'll like this movie. It's kind of a courtroom drama, but it's about a man and his wife. The wife is, he's a lawyer. His wife has an affair. And she kills her – when she finds out he's going to blackmail her husband, she kills him. And then she has to watch her husband, who's a lawyer, prosecute another woman for her crime.
Oh,
and so it's sort of – yeah, it's sort of the idea that one choice can lead to lots of other things, what we do when we make a bad choice, what we do when we don't let God take over,
control.
You know, let go and let – yeah, when we try to take control of our lives ourselves. So it's not it's not a Christian movie in that there's no big redemption scene, but it just the Christian worldview to ask those questions. Yeah, about adultery, about marriage, all kinds of things. Themes that we want to explore.
When I saw the trailer for it, you know, I mean, I knew a little bit of the storyline, but. I definitely have to get this movie. In fact, I wish I had gotten it before we did the show here, but I just didn't, you know, I had 50 million other things going on, didn't get a chance. But it's definitely on my list of things to order.
Well, great. Yeah, you can, and I know you were asking where you can find it. It's on Walmart. You can order it on walmart.com. If anybody has Amazon Prime, it's streaming for free on Amazon Prime right now. I'm trying to think where else. Oh, there's a streaming service called 24 Flix, which is family friendly, not necessarily just Christian content, but family friendly content, like a Netflix for that. So it's streaming there as well. So, and there
Okay,
probably will be more places, hopefully.
I hope so. Yeah. Well, I'm ashamed to admit I've never done streaming. I really don't even know what streaming is. So I'm sure the
That's
normal
okay.
people that are out there listening know exactly what you're talking about.
But we do have DVDs available as well. Yes.
So that's what I'm thinking. I could order it as a
Yes.
DVD, like from
You can order it on,
Walmart.com.
yep, walmart.com or amazon.com, either one. Yep.
Okay, well, yeah, I definitely intend to get it because it looks like a movie that I would very much enjoy.
Good. Good, I
I
hope
remember
so.
Paramecium back in the day. It
I
wasn't
love
my
those.
they weren't my well, Paramecium was good. My thing was Westerns, though. I grew up on all the old Westerns, so
Oh, sure.
I have like hundreds of DVDs of old Westerns sitting around my house, or old VHS tapes. But I'm sure
Wow.
that I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Trying to think of what to do, how to get rid of them now. But
Oh.
I would very much enjoy to see this. Well, you know what? I like the courtroom stories that are on TV now. What's the one that I like to watch? The couple of, like Law and Order when it was on, I really enjoyed it. So, oh yeah, I'm sure I would very much get into this.
Yeah, we enjoyed making it, and we love it when people tell us how much they enjoy watching it.
Yeah. So, what is your next project, do you think?
So, well, we have a, like I said, we have a screenplay that we've attached some actors to, but we need to, you need money. Money always
Oh,
helps.
yeah.
So yeah, it's getting funding when you're doing independent projects like this. That's probably the big hurdle for anything like that. But our next project is called Hiding in Plain Sight, and it's a story about a guy who's become a family man, but some of his college choices come back to haunt him.
Ooh.
So yeah, it's another thriller that kind of explores the idea, what are you willing to do to protect your family? So
Wow.
that's kind of a fun one. Yeah. And I said we're still in development of a an episodic, like a TV show about a team of people who go to different places in the world to help missionaries that need help. So
Neat.
yeah, and that's called Fire Team, and we're just going to see where that goes. That one's definitely more Christian content, obviously set in, with the missionary field.
But Glynis, it sounds like even the storylines that you've discussed in Sinking Sand and the one that you're working on, it sounds like you are not afraid to tackle some of the moral issues that come into the everyday lives of everyday people, and how they handle them. And I think that's something that very much needs to be addressed in the Christian community as well as the secular community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think so too. I think we're kind of in that in between where sometimes some would say we're not Christian enough for like a Christian audience, but we're not edgy enough for a secular audience. But I think there's a middle ground that people, I think there are audiences that are wanting content like this, where I can have, it doesn't have to be graphic, and it doesn't have to be, not a lot of language or violence or anything like that, but that can explore some of those. They're darker themes for sure, but the world is a dark place, like I said.
Yes,
So we need to
absolutely.
ask ourselves those questions and how we can show hope through that.
Most definitely. Well, it sounds like you have found just a really fascinating facet of the writing world, as well as
Yeah.
the movie production world, So it sounds like you got some really exciting stuff coming up here, and I'm happy for you. So,
Well, thank you. It's fun to be able to talk about it. This is great.
well, I'm glad you've enjoyed it because I always love visiting with folks about different aspects of writing, not even just writing, but different aspects of creativity
Sure.
and their faith and all those kind of things, that are really, really interesting. Well, we're about at the end of our time here, Glynis, but if there's anything else you would like to bring up that I didn't mention, is there any question that you're thinking, man, I sure wish she had asked me about that? Because we still have
No, you did a fantastic job. I didn't know what I was going to say, but you just did a great job.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm really excited about your writing. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. Now I understand what it's like when you have an unpublished novel. Some people like to talk about it. Some people don't. Are you interested at all in sharing the subject of what you're working on now? Because, you know, some people are like, no.
No, well, what's funny is now I like to do NaNoWriMo in the fall, in November. Yes. I don't know if you know what that is, National Novel Writing Month. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, so I finally, let's see, the last 2 years I finally won after four or five tries, but I finally did it. I feel like I kind of cheated this year. This was a novelization of Sinking Sand. So So I just took the story that we'd already written and then sort of fleshed it out a little. And so that was a lot of fun. It was very different to look at those same characters that I thought I knew pretty well and look at them in a different way. So that was really fun. The year before I did a story. These are just, you know, things that come out of whatever. And it was a story about a woman who was trying to hide the fact that she was a Russian mafia daughter, and it all comes back to haunt her. It was just a ridiculous kind of it was supposed to be a romantic suspense, but I don't think there was much romance or suspense. So that one will probably stay hidden unless I decide to rewrite it. I don't know. It was a lot of fun to write, though. I'm still trying to, I think, find my genre for writing novels.
Okay.
I still haven't really picked anything because I like to read a lot of different things. So,
I do too.
And there's so many options out there.
For our listeners who don't know what that means, NaNoWriMo, it stands for National Novel Writing Month.
Yes.
And you're supposed to write a novel of 50,000 words in 30 days, basically.
Yep.
What does it come out to? 1,667 words per day, I think, isn't
words
it?
Words a day. Yep. You start on November 1st and go to November 30th. Yep. So.
Yeah, so it's kind of fun. And
it is fun.
I have never finished it. I've never made it to the 50,000. So.
I think watching football while I write is my muse. So I can really only write in November or in the fall.
Oh, how funny.
Funny. I don't know.
Okay. If watching football is your muse and watching baseball is mine, shoot, I have 6 whole months to do my writing.
You have 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do
it. If they make it to the October.
Sure.
Wow. I'll have to start thinking about that. That gave me a good idea there, Glynis.
There you go.
Well, listen, it was a pure delight to visit with you today.
Well,
and
thank you. I feel the same way.
Well, good, good. I just was so excited when I think you put it out on ACFW, didn't you, about the movie? And I went right away and saw the trailer, and I was like, oh, wow, this looks like an awesome movie.
Yes. Well, so, thank you so much.
Alrighty. Well,
just sharing.
Been an enjoyable time, and I hope that, our listeners enjoyed it, and that maybe you'll get some folks interested in the movie and your, some of your other writings, too. I'll put them on the website as well, the Mixed Blessings and the With God Daily. I'll put those links on there, too, and I'll definitely put that trailer, if I can figure out how to do it, on the website, too. Okay, well, listen, you have a wonderful evening, and may
you
God
too.
Bless you.
Same to
Take
you.
Take care. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. To our listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time, and when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Don't forget to go to pattysheene.com, that's pattysheene.com, and check out some more information about Glynis on her website. She has a wonderful website. I really enjoyed browsing through that. And I'll also have the link to the trailer to her Sinking Sand movie, which looks to be a really awesome movie. Thank you so much for spending time with us today, and we hope that you come back. And feel free to go to the website and browse some of the other shows that we have as well. Until next time, may God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, lonesome, dark, and cold, there is a spirit who brings a fire.